Hallelujah. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can open to Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. I am doing a abbreviated version of the Following the Holy Ghost series. I could probably take, I think in South Dayton, I ended up taking 6 or 7 weeks with it. I could probably take 10 to 15 weeks on teaching on Following the Holy Ghost. But, you know, there's different times when you do that and things, but I know for this series we won't take as long. I'm going to hit the points that the Holy Ghost has for us to hit. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Of course, we did talk about it last week in Following the Holy Ghost, and we'll do a real quick review just to bring us up to speed, and then we'll go forth here tonight. But Father, help us. Say what needs to be said. Do what needs to be done. Father, we don't want to try to hit the mark in our own minds. We want to hit the mark spiritually by the Holy Ghost. So, Lord, whatever you want to do in this service, Father, interrupt, speaks, analogies, different points, whatever, Father, however you want to do things, Lord. In this service, we're not here just to have some set service that we've prepared. Lord, whatever you want. Father, man's plans will fail, but God's plans will never fail. So, Lord, we thank you. And, Lord, we know that the preaching and teaching of the Word is part of your plan. And so, Lord, as I open my mouth, you're going to fill it. I thank you you'll fill it, Father. You already said in the Word, you'll give me boldness and utterance. So, Lord, I don't wonder if this is going to happen. I know it's going to happen. So, Father, I thank you. I'll speak peace. I'll speak life. I'll speak help. To people here tonight, Father, we'll go to a new level of glory. And Father, we'll hear exactly what we need to hear. And Lord, we'll make sure to give you the praise. We'll make sure to give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. But Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, some of my favorite portions of Scripture, you know, I've just become dumb enough to believe the Word. Amen. You know, I say that sarcastically because it's like, you know, one minister said this week, he's like, he was saying something and real quick, he's real kind of sarcastic like I am at times, you know, and he said something the Word said, and he said, almost like the Bible's true. Almost like even believing the Bible's true, you know. And I say that sarcastically, just dumb enough to believe the Word, because we're in a day and age where people don't believe the Word. They don't follow the Word of God. And I just believe that the Word is God's Word. I mean, this is God's Word to me. And if He says something in it, I believe it, praise God. I take Him at face value. He's not a liar. Hallelujah. He's not a liar. And so the Word says here, it's kind of like, you know, my children, they're picking up a little bit more on my sarcasm. But Caleb had a little safe that he had got for Christmas, and it was like $40 to $50, you know, a little thing he put in with some batteries. And that thing broke one time, and he asked me how much it cost, and I was like, I don't know, a few thousand. I mean, I knew I was being sarcastic. I thought he didn't. And his grandpa came over, and I heard him in the other room telling, Dad bought me a safe that cost a few thousand dollars. He just takes me at his word, you know, at my word, and I got to be careful with that, you know, because I certainly don't want to not have my child trust me. So I have to be careful with the sarcasm with him, but I just trust God. If he says to trust in him with all his heart and to lean on his own understanding, then if he says in verse 6, if he says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and I'll direct your path, I take that to heart. I take that as God saying, listen, I want to be a part of your life. Like, he's the genius, right? He's the all-knowing genius. Amen. He's been to your future back. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's the beginning. He's the end. Like, he already knows what pitfalls to have us avoid, what relationships to have us steer clear of, what things to avoid in our life. He already knows it, praise God. And so it would do us good to take him at his word and to all our ways acknowledge him. And he said, I'll direct your paths. And we talked about last week, just because, you know, for people to say, I want to go God's way. I want to go God's plan, because Jeremiah says that he has a plan or a path for us, right? For people to want to go on that path or plan, you know, the world's already working against the church. The devil's always working against our mind. He's talking to other people, and God's way's not best, and God's way's this, and there's all these things that stereotypes and things. And so to get people to want to go God's path and God's plan, they have to know that there's incentive to do so, right? That's the best way. It's the most blessed way. And I love what it says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. This is just real quick review. Ephesians chapter 2 in verse 10. Talking about God's path and God's plan, he says here, for we are God's own, we are his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Well, the Amplified really brings that out. If you wouldn't mind pulling that up, Kim Lime, it really helps us to see about God's path, because remember, he said, if you'll acknowledge me in all your ways, I'll direct you. What's that mean? Well, in my ways with money, you're struggling with money, you're struggling, you know, being blessed and what to do financially and how to get into increase. Well, he said, if you'll acknowledge me in your all your ways is money. He said, I'll direct your path for money. Well, would God's path being directed at money be good? Well, what about relationships? What about business ideas? What about how to raise your kids? What about all sorts of things? He said that I'll direct. If you're going the wrong way, I'll direct you to the right way, right? I'll put you on the right path. Well, this tells us here, it says, we're God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us. Now notice this, taking the paths that he prepared for us. Notice that. He prepared for us ahead of time. So the Bible says he's got paths for us. What is that? In your relationship. In your money, in your business, in your life, in your family. He says, I've already got a path for you on these things. Hallelujah. But remember, how are you going to get to those? You have to acknowledge him. Yes. Amen. A lot of people don't acknowledge him because they have a wrong idea. He says that we should walk in them. And yes, I'm here to tell you, you should do it God's way. Amen. I'm not saying there's no test with God's way. In fact, there are tests with God's way, but there's no defeat Amen. With God's way. There's no turmoil. There's no frustration. There's victory doing it God's way. So yes, you should stop and do it God's way. Praise God. He said that I have prepared the good life that you should walk in them. What is God's path and God's plan when we acknowledge him? Living the good life, which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. So God's path and God's plan. And we looked at some other things. He said, I lead you besides the still waters. He said, I lead you to green pastures. Isaiah 48 says that if you'll trust in him financially, he said, I'll lead you into prosperity. I'll teach you how to do it. Amen. So his path and his plan is what you want for your life. Praise God. It's the best way. It's the abundant life. It's the peaceful life. It's the prosperous life. It's the healthy life. It's the favor-filled life. It's the protection-filled life. People are not in Christianity frustrated, struggling, broke, sick, depressed, and messed up because they're doing it God's way. A lot of people go around that same mountain of defeat, that same mountain of sickness, that same mountain of frustration, that same mountain of spinning their wheels, of turmoil and crisis, because they consistently do things their way. God's way is best. Remember, you know, the story I tell is when little Abby walks in the woods with her daddy, right? If she stays within daddy's path, In daddy's place that he's walking, I can keep her from the prickers. I can keep her from tripping over the logs. I can keep her from falling into the mud. I can keep her from getting into things that she shouldn't. But when she's off by herself, there's things up ahead that she's unaware of. There's things up ahead that she can't see. How many of you know we can't see things at times? We don't know what's up around the next corner. We've never been there before. There's places in the woods Abby's never been before, and there's places I've been before. It's like, no, you avoid that. But if she's not right with me, she might not avoid that. And that's what Christians do. They get out ahead of God and they run into things and they experience things and they fall into things and they hurt because of things, or they get way off to the side and God's going this way. And it's like, that's not what God has for you. God has the good life. Amen. The good life, praise God. But we said that there's a way to do it. Romans 8 and verse 14 tells us how to play by the rules. Romans 8 and verse 14. You know, I was on a flight from California, and they allowed me to be on that plane as long as I followed the rules. Right? You got to follow the rules. You can't be on the plane. I need to get back home. Well, you can't smoke on the plane, which is a good thing. I don't smoke. But you're not allowed to be on a plane if you smoke, right? You can't just sit anywhere you want to, right? You can't just show up, get done out of the shower, and go jump on the plane. Got to have clothes on, right? You got to follow the rules. Well, with God, I want the good life. I want the plan. I want that prosperity. I want that peace you're talking about. Because what daddy, think about it now, if he's offered to guide you, didn't he offer? He said, I'll direct you. Well, when I'm in the woods with Abby and I'm walking in and making a path for her, I'm not leading her into the prickers. Amen? Amen. I'm not leading her into the hard places and the difficult places. Amen? Neither's the Father. Amen. He's not leading you into the hard places. He's not leading you into the difficult places. He's leading you into the good life. And if it's not the good life you're not experiencing, I'm wondering who you're following. What you're following. But you got to play by the rules. What are the rules? Romans 8:14. For as many as are led, that's guided, directed, by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So God tells you how you're going to get from your way to His way. You're going to have to become proficient in following the Spirit. And we told you last week, without looking at the Scriptures and taking too much time to go there, we told you how it happens. That you have a spirit. When you get born again, your spirit's made brand new. The Bible says the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord searching the inward parts of the belly. That spirit of man, the real you that's going to live on forever, is located in the center of man, in the belly region of mankind. Amen? But the Bible says that when you got born again, that the Holy Ghost came and dwelled, said that I'll be with you forever, but not only be with you, I will be in you forever. So the Holy Ghost comes in on the inside. And then the Bible says that the job of the Holy Ghost is to hear things that He doesn't speak on His own self. He hears from heaven about what? Your life. What do I mean? Well, you're seeking God on your money, on your family, on your kids, on your business, whatever in life, and you don't know the direction. Well, God, nothing surprises Him. See, if you could see things from His perspective, it'd bring you a lot of peace. Just because you don't know what to do about your money, about that relationship, about your job, He's not up in heaven confused. He's not up in heaven wondering, what am I going to do? Look at the situation. How do I get him out of that? Why? This is what's happening. He's not confused. He's God. Amen? And that same God said, if you'll just acknowledge me, I'll get you out of that. I'll direct your path. Amen? Your problem that you've been in for years and years, spinning your wheels and can't seem to get loose of, is one acknowledgement in following away from being changed for forever. Spinning your wheels for years financially, spinning your wheels for years in a relationship, spinning your wheels for, it's just one, Lord, how do I get out of this? He's not up there, and He's not up there dangling it. He said, no, I'll do it. I'll direct you. You acknowledge me. And you learn to follow the Spirit of God. I'll show you how to get out of those things. I'll show you how to get into some things. I'll show you how to maneuver some things. It's that quick. It's that simple. See, you think your answer's far off because you've experienced it for so many years. One turnaround away. One turnaround away. Praise God. That's it. That's it. Just one turnaround away. You're one suddenly from everything in your world changing forever. Once suddenly, from everything changing forever in your world. Praise God. Amen. That'll build your faith a little bit. So the Bible says the Holy Ghost hears from heaven. The Holy Ghost then speaks to our spirit, bears witness. The Bible calls it bearing witness. The Holy Ghost will bear witness to our spirit. And then when we follow our spirit by the Spirit of God, the Spirit of man's a candle of the Lord, then we are directed into how God leads us. Amen. That's what we're endeavoring to find out. Now, go with me real quick to 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 23. Now, in this verse alone, I could spend 3 weeks at least explaining some things, but we're going to take 5 minutes because that's the direction that I'm led to go in this way. So 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 23. Now, remember, he's endeavoring to lead you by the Spirit. That's where the answer is. It says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your," now he's talking about you and what you have, "your spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So the Bible tells you that you, the person, are made up of three things: spirit, soul, and body. Do you see that there? He said, "I pray your spirit, soul, and body." Well, let's break them down. The spirit is what? The Spirit is the eternal part of us, right? It's the one that lives forever. It's the eternal being, the thing that got born again. Our spirit was made brand new. It's the thing that lives on forever. The real you is the Spirit, right? You've been to funerals. You see that the body stays there, that cremate, put the body. It's an earthly vessel. So you are a spirit, but you have a body. Well, what's the body? The body is just the earth suit, the housing place for the real you, right? The body, the flesh. But then it says you have a soul. Now, a lot of people think the soul and the spirit are the same, but he differentiates them. He says spirit, soul, and body. Well, what's the soul of a person? The soul of the person is the mind, the will, and the emotions of a person, right? So you're a three-part being. You are a spirit. You have a soul, mind, will, and emotions, and it's housed in a body. Now, the Bible tells you out of those three things what you're to be led by. What did he say? For as many as are led by their flesh, they are the sons of God. No. For as many as are led by their mind, they are the sons of God. No. In fact, when you got born again, it's the only thing that changed. I mean, wouldn't it have been nice if God, when I got saved, you could have given me 5 inches? 5 inches this way and maybe a couple inches in my biceps, you know, or something. I mean, that would have been nice to change and... I stayed the same, still short and stocky Mike, you know, that's what I stayed. When I got saved, I still thought the same. In fact, the Bible tells you that when you get born again, there's two things, there's something you have to do with your body and your mind. You have to renew your mind, and you have to present your body holy as a sacrifice, amen? Why? Because when you got born again, your body didn't change. Your flesh was still carnal and still wanted to do the wrong things. Your mind still wanted to think wrong. So you have to renew the mind and you have to put the body under. Amen. And the body is able to be put under a lot better when your spirit man's big and your mind's renewed. Just telling you the truth how it is. And so the Bible didn't say for as many as are led by the flesh, for many as led by the mind. In fact, in Proverbs 3, he already alluded to it. He said, don't go by your own understanding. Lean not. What's that mean? Don't depend on your thinking. Why? The ways of man, the Bible says, there's a way that seems right unto man. But the ways or the end thereof is death. He already told us, your thoughts are not my thoughts. Your ways are not my ways. What you would do and how you would think, that's not how I think and how I do. I'm on a much higher plane. So we don't want to rely on our own thinking, our own ways. That's not how he's leading us. But I'm here to tell you, the majority. Now, here's the thing. Say, when you say statements like this, are you just saying things to say them, or are you just being sensational? No, I'm telling you from experience, from people in the body of Christ I've talked to, from my own experiences, from Courtney's experiences, these things. So when I say these things, it's not just to throw a big blanket of sensationalism over it to ooh and ah you. Majority of people that are born again have no idea what it means to follow the Holy Ghost. In fact, when you talk about the things of the Holy Ghost, you know, I always use this kind of joke. It's sarcasm, shocking, I know, but, you know, we talk about the Father and we get excited, right? And we talk about the Son and we get excited. But when it comes to the Holy Ghost, don't talk about the Holy Ghost. Well, the Holy Ghost is the only one on the earth that's of the Godhead left. Right. Reverend Joel Siegel this week at camp meeting was talking about how, and he said this before, he said, you don't realize how sheltered you have it in the family churches. Wow. That's good. That's true. He gets to travel around to different places. And, you know, one of the things that we're going to talk about either next week or the week after is the importance of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You wait and see what the Word says, Jesus said. He didn't suggest you get filled with the Holy Ghost. He commanded you get filled with the Holy Ghost. Don't look at me like that. I'll come back there. I'll do it. You'll see. It's not some obscure doctrine in the body of Christ that the Pentecostals and the Charismatics talk about. No. The one thing Jesus told new Christians was, do not go anywhere till you get filled with the Holy Ghost. And we have Christians going everywhere without getting filled with the Holy Ghost because they're ignorant to it. And Reverend Joel was talking about how he was given the invitation in a church, a big church, to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And the associate pastor ran up and grabbed the mic from him and said, "Well, what I think Reverend Joel means is that you should just go home and reflect on the message. Wanted nothing to do with the Holy Ghost." And that's a problem, because the Holy Ghost is the one that leads us. Take away the Holy Ghost, take away the leading of God. Now, you don't have to be filled with the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues to be led by the Spirit. The Bible says, "For they that are led by the Spirit are sons of God." It doesn't say you have to be filled. But you'll see the benefits of being filled with the Holy Ghost, how you hear from heaven better, how you're in tune more. There's just so many good benefits that come with it. But every Christian that is born again has the potential to be led by the Holy Ghost, but many of them don't have a clue. I grew up with a lady, Margaret Anderson, Grandma, you know, the Bible thumper. She's born again, and she's in heaven, you know, and she loved Jesus. She did, and she was moral, and she was right, but she was so ignorant. I didn't know it at the time, but she was so ignorant. You know, that's not a dig at my grandma. She was ignorant towards the things of God. Her whole church was ignorant towards the things of God. She had no idea that there was a Holy Spirit that, in her times of financial trials, would get her out of them. In times of not knowing what to do with life, the Holy Ghost was there. Instead of just offering empty prayers of unbelief to God and just sitting back in a life and realizing, well, God's just sovereign and He decided not to bless me, and that's okay. When I get to heaven, I'll be blessed. That's how a lot of Christians live. They don't even know that there's a Holy Ghost. And so because of that, most Christians, and again, I'm not just throwing a blanket of sensationalism over this to be dramatic and to ooh and ah you, most Christians are not led in life based on what the Holy Ghost says. They're led in life based on what they think or how they feel. And the Bible didn't say in Romans 8:14, yes, you are a body, have a body, and yes, you do have a soul, a mind, will, and emotions. But He never told you to be led by it. He said, renew that noodle and to put that body under, because that body's going to want to go the wrong way. That deserves a drink. Don't get me too dry up here. I won't be able to open my mouth. And anyways, and so most Christians don't know that there's more to be led by. And ladies and gentlemen, you can't afford to be led by your flesh. You can't afford to be led by your mind. Because there's going to be times in life that things and directions you need to go are going to scare the mind, but you need to go that direction. And if you go by the mind, you'll avoid it. Or there's going to be times where it's uncomfortable to your flesh, but that is the way to go. That leads to blessing, but you won't go that way because it's uncomfortable to the flesh. Or there'll be times that's like the Lord is saying, no, 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 and your flesh is saying, yes, yes, yes. But because your flesh feels good, you'll want to go that way. Or because it seems good to your mind, you know. You talk to the experts. You did a pros and cons list. Come on. He's not leading by pros and cons lists. Now, is it wrong to take natural counsel at times? No, but not at the expense of following the Holy Ghost. Amen? Hallelujah. And people don't learn this. And I want to show you the dangers of being led by the flesh and being led by God's voice, which in the New Testament is by the Holy Ghost. I want to talk about real quick the tale of two men. Amen? I want to talk about the tale of two men. Both of these men in the Bible were considered righteous. The Bible called Abraham righteous, and the Bible called Lot righteous Lot. Both men of God, but both very different outcomes in their life. A tale of two men. Would you like to look at the tale of two men here real quick? Let's look at Abraham first. Now remember, we're talking about learning to follow God's voice. God's voice is not found in your flesh. Well, I had goosebumps, so it must have been him. No. Well, it was really uncomfortable with my flesh, so that didn't feel right. No. Well, I don't think that could be the right way. He's not leading in your mind either. God's not talking to you in your brain. Amen? Go with me to Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. See, God's voice at times will be very uncomfortable to your flesh, but it'll lead to good things. Be very uncomfortable to your mind, but will lead to good things. or God's, or you could flip it vice versa. The point is to follow what God is saying. Genesis chapter 12. Most people make big decisions based on how it feels, how it looks. You know what else God's not leading you by? The dollar bill. A lot of people are led by the dollar bill. Well, the job paid me more. Well, what did God say about the job? Yeah, but the paid more. Yeah, but following God will pay more than the job can pay. Amen. It's true. Amen. The job paid more. It was based on money. God's not leading by looks. I had one young girl. She said, you think that God's just calling you to be with this person because they're good look, they're cute, and they open the door for you? And they said, well, yeah, what else did you pick a spouse based on? I said, you don't know. That's a pretty package. Now, I didn't know for sure. I had some leading on this individual concerning some things, but I didn't know for sure. I said, the devil is very good at wrapping things up, dynamite up, and making it look real good on the outside. Amen. Well, I thought going into business, that person, you don't have to do all the wondering. When you learn to follow the Holy Ghost, you know what you're really learning to follow? You're learning to follow God. And you know what God is? Like I said earlier, the genius. He's a genius. You have a genius, a fortune-telling genius living on the inside of you, who loves you so much, he died for you and is saying, I want to help you. A fortune-telling genius on the inside of you. How do we ever fail? How do we ever get into the wrong thing? It's not because we followed him. Amen. We're trying to get you help here tonight. Here's the awesome thing. Maybe you've come over here. Here's the only thing I can think of is to bring the analogy with Abby. My pastor told me that when I had children, he said, you'll see the love of God in a whole different way, and I did. Because the Bible says in Matthew 7 that if good parents know how to take care of their children, how much more would God? Well, I know I'm a good parent. What do I mean by that? I'm not the most perfect parent. As far as I know, I love my kids as much as anyone else loved their kid, but I know I do the best I can for my children. And when Abby... I offer her, stay with me. And Abby just pulls an Abby, Sometimes she pulls an Abby. And lots of Abbies. Hopefully we're getting less Abbies as we go on. And she goes off and gets caught in the briars and falls in the mud and she's crying. And, Daddy doesn't sit there from a distance and say, I told you so, you failure. You stay over there and you fail and you stay cold and you stay bloody. No, Daddy comes over and picks her up and says, honey, this is why you go my way. My way's still available. Come on, the consequences from what you did, I'm going to help. I'm going to mend those things, but I'm going to put you back in a place that's better than even before. That's what Daddy does. So even if you're here say, Pastor Mike, I'm so and such an age, and I've done things my own way for years, and I can look back and see my money's this way and my relationship this way. Who cares? You're here now. You're here. Nothing you can do about it. No sense of piddling around in that doubt and unbelief and that thing that you didn't have victory over. You can't do anything about it anymore. The devil would love to hold you right there when God is saying, come on, I got a better path for you. Amen. In Genesis chapter 12, so I want to get you to follow God's voice. Now the Lord had said to Abram, this was before he changed his name, get out of your country. What's that? What you know, what's familiar. Away from your kindred. What's that? What you know, what's familiar, what's comfortable. And from your father's house. What's that? Where you've always had provision. Where you've always had blessing. Where things have been constant. Where things have been certain. Right? Because the mind likes certainty. Right? The mind likes to know what it knows and have things lined up and everything in order. Can't follow God that way a lot of times. Because God doesn't show you step A, B, C, D, E, F, and G. God only sometimes, you're trying to get to G, and he only shows you A. And you got to trust him to get to A to then get to B. And it's a lot of unknown. Why? We walk by faith, not by sight. But what's his father's house? Everything he knows, everything that's comfortable, everything that's familiar, everything that's easy. He says, get out of there. Unto a land that I will show you. You mean you're not even going to tell me where? No. Why? Because point A is just getting out. Point B is, well, I'll show you. But if you don't get to point A, you don't get point B. And point A is very uncomfortable, Abraham. Amen. See why you can't go with your mind and your flesh? Because your mind and your flesh would say, I'm not going anywhere until I know where I'm going. I'm not leaving comfort for the unknown. I'm not leaving assurance for the unknown. That's what your flesh and your mind will say. Can't go with your flesh and your mind. Your flesh and your mind will keep you stay right there. Amen. Unto a land I will show you. He said, and I will make you a great nation. Now, we told you in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 22, actually, I think I set that on the slick text today, that the Bible says the blessing of the Lord, or doing it the Lord's way, leads to increase, leads to richness, leads to blessing, right? Anytime you go God's way, well, that's what we're talking about. The path, the good life, the green pastures, the still waters, the good things that he has for you. That's what is the result or the wages of following him. Blessing, increase, working out, favor. So we know that if Abraham does what God says, gets away from all that's comfortable and just goes and gets going and sets his hand to it and starts putting things in order that he's going, we know that blessing has to follow. Why? God's path and plan is only the good life. Well, he tells him here, he says, and I'll make you a great nation. And he said, and I'll bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And you might think to yourself, well, Pastor, how easy it would have been. God just told him. I told you the same thing in Ephesians 2, that God said, if you go his path, you'll have a good life too. That's all that God's telling him. Is he's saying, you'll have the good life, Abraham. God already told you everything. He made it simple. Problem is, you listen to the wrong voices. The voice of the flesh, the voice of the mind, the voice of opinions, the voice of people. It's true. And he said, now bless them, verse 3, that bless you, and curse him that curse you, and in your name, and in you all families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him. Notice what the Bible doesn't say. That Abraham said, but Lord, I'll obey you, but I need to know where I'm going. And Lord, what's the financial situation? And what am I going to do about this? And what do you have for me there? No, God spoke, Abraham listened, Abraham was blessed. But we know that his flesh and his mind could not have been comfortable with that, right? Who would be comfortable with that? Say, get up and go. But Abraham listened to God's voice and he was blessed, didn't he? You know, I don't have time to look there, but we could look at another place where Abraham listened to God's voice when the flesh and the mind would have said, what in the world? Remember in Genesis 22 when God told Abraham, take your son, you know, I like how God throws this in. He says, you know the son you love, Isaac, and take him up to a mountain and sacrifice him. I'm going to tell you something. I believe that Abraham stood on the promises of God. That God said, through your seed, Isaac couldn't have died. I believe Abraham knew that in the sense that God would have to, if I kill him, he's got to raise him from the dead. Because God already told me that through Isaac I'm going to be blessed. I don't care if God tells me, after you ram a knife through Caleb, I'll raise him from the dead. That's still hard. There's still emotions. And there's still a mind. And there's still feelings. And they're still walking that out. And there's still, the flesh and the mind would be so loud. Even if you knew. Because he still would have to walk by faith knowing that once I kill him, by faith, God's got to raise him from the dead. So we can't rest on saying, oh, he just would have known. No, the uncomfortableness would have been there. Amen? We can't belittle his obedience by him standing on the words and saying to himself, you know, I'll do this because I know, God, you promised you. And he had, you know, he had faith in the love of God. He was going to do it, and we know it couldn't have been easy. But my point was he didn't go with his flesh and with his mind. He didn't argue with God. Lord, there's got to be a better way. Lord, why would you give me? He didn't even, he just said, okay, Lord. Followed his voice, and he was blessed. And you go on and you read Genesis 22, all the blessings that came from that. It affected him and generations to come. Now let's go to the tale of two men. Go to Genesis 13 and verse 5. So that's one man. We said we're going to talk about two. Genesis 13 and verse 5. So Abraham followed God's voice. The Bible says in verse 5, and Lot was Abraham's nephew. Also, which was with Abraham, Abram had flocks, herds, and tents, and the land was not able to bear them that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen, between Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzites dwelled in the land. And Abraham said, Lot, let there be no strife, I pray, between me and you, and between my herdmen and your herdmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before us? Separate yourself, I pray thee, from me. If you will take the left, I'll go to the right. Or if you'll depart to the right, I'll go to the left. Now I got to say this because it's come up on my heart. And I'm going to tell about a situation in California. This is my take on this story. Now, if you get to heaven and the Lord tells you something different, now I can prove it through other scriptures about staying with your man or woman of God. Amen. But I would have said, you know what, Abraham? I'll do whatever it takes. I'm not leaving you. My blessing comes from, you don't get your own blessing on this earth. Your blessing always comes through another human being. Right. Always. Now again, I don't have time to teach on that. I will at some other point. But your blessing always, we're not rogue individuals here. Right. We're always connected to somebody that's going to bring us to a higher place. Always. Yeah. Everybody is. Amen. If you don't like it, you don't like God's plan. That's God's plan. Yeah. I believe Lot should have said, I don't care about this stuff. I'll liquidate the stuff to stay with you. Amen? What am I saying? That Lot valued the stuff more than the connection, more than the spiritual, right? We know that because he didn't do that. He said, my stuff's so much. Yes, if we can't dwell together, I want to keep my stuff. And I think about the people in California, and Pastor Nancy talks about out there when they put on a camp meeting that there's something like 1,300 and some positions that need to be filled, and they're all filled by 200 and some people. Now, I get to be in back rooms with her and private conversations at times and things that she gets to share that maybe she wouldn't share from the pulpit, and, of course, things that she would tell me not to share, but she gets into some deeper things at times around a dinner table or things. And she says that there are people from her church that will take their only week vacation during camp meeting, so they're there morning and evening to serve in those meetings. Now, a lot of people would say, that's extreme and that's excessive, and she doesn't ask it of them. But in their mind, the value of the spiritual, and she goes on and talks about how those people and the blessing that's on their life. Amen. See, what do you value? See, we value the wrong things, and again, nobody's telling you, you take all your vacation and just serve in the church. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying there is a reaping for that. And it came up on my heart because Lot was so interested in the stuff. Abraham was the guy that God was speaking to. God wasn't speaking to Lot. The plan of God wasn't coming through Lot. Lot separated himself and became a rogue person on his own. God was speaking through Abraham, and I believe that that blessing in Lot's life and family came down through Abraham. He said, I don't care about the stuff. Let's liquidate the stuff. I'm staying with the plan. Amen. Amen? And people that do that, praise God, there's a reaping, there's a blessing. But anyways, regardless, he says separate, and then the point is this. So he's got a choice now. Can't stay where we're at because too much stuff. And even, I'll say this to back up what I just said, even if that's not the case, that Lot didn't need to stay with Abraham, he still should have asked God, should I separate from this guy? Yeah. He didn't even do that. Amen? He didn't even consider what God would say. Bible says Lot lifted up his eyes. Well, that seems like good. I mean, God's up there. But he didn't lift his eyes up to heaven. He lifted up his eyes and beheld. Ooh, the plain of the Jordan, agricultural society. Look at those rivers. Look at that fertile land. Cha-ching! For as many as are led by cha-ching! The dollar signs, cha-ching! Come on! Oh, I would never give up my week's vacation for the church. What if God asked you to do it? Right. 200 and some people filling 1,300 some positions. You know there were people in those meetings? Okay. One of the things that lacks in the body of Christ is the willingness and the obedience. A laying down of one's life. A taking up a cross. Well, I just want to make sure I'm only on the nursery schedule once every 5 or 6 weeks. Why don't you do it every week? Well, I'll usher, but make sure I'm only on. I don't want to sit out in the hall. I don't want to have to sit out in the hall more than a couple of times. Why wouldn't you volunteer to sit in the hall 52 weeks out of the year? Well, it's sure getting quiet in this Presbyterian church. I mean, it used to be a Presbyterian church, so. I'm telling you the truth. There were people in those meetings that never saw the light of day of service and stayed in the kitchen and cooked for all the ministers. Afternoon service and evening service. And we're willing to do it. And we're excited to do it. And I'm bored to do it. And we'll be blessed because they did it. Amen. Well, put me on the cleaning schedule, but make sure I just have one section every 2 weeks. I don't want to do it too much. Why don't you volunteer to clean the whole church every single week? It's the house of God. Amen. Revelation that needs to be had. Amen. We want the great moves of God in our church. The signs, the wonders and the miracles. Well, you know what they did in the book of Acts? The Bible says they had all things in common, and they said nothing that we have is our own. We're willing to do and give whatever we need to do for the kingdom. We don't have that in the body of Christ in 2019. It's all about the abundant life. Give me what I can get. What can I get from the word of faith? How can I build my kingdom? What can church give me? It's the truth. I'm not trying to be mean or be harsh, but the power lies in surrender. Amen. Amen. And we think wrong about how we serve in church. We think wrong. We think we're doing the church a favor. No, 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 no. You don't understand how blessed you get to do anything in this place. This is the house of God. Amen. Now, don't misunderstand me. I appreciate people. I mean, without the ministry of helps, the church doesn't go on. So we're not belittling it, but the mentality that you're doing something for the church and you're woo-hoo-hoo you. No, it's like, what can I bring to my church? What supply can I bring? What can I do? What can I take? What can I do? What can I give? Amen. I know we want Book of Acts stuff, but we got to be Book of Acts people. We got to be Book of Acts people, willing and obedient. Faithful man will abound in blessings. And some of us have to get a revelation of this. What can I do? 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 What can I bring? What does the church need? I'll do it every week. You need me every single week in nursery? I'll do it every single week with a smile because I know God sees it.
Amen. Come on.
And I know He'll bless me. I'll sit in the hall. If I never see the light of day of service, I'll sit in the hall 52 weeks plus Wednesday services because I know God's watching. And I'll come and clean the church every single week, the whole thing, if it takes me a few hours, because He sees it.
Amen.
That's the mentality. Now again, we don't use people that way. We don't take advantage of people that way, but that's the heart you ought to have towards the things of God. Amen. You say, wow, but that's the heart Jesus had. What was Jesus' heart? I'll do whatever it takes. I love the song Reverend Joel and Pastor Amy Siegel wrote. Whatever it takes, I'll do it. Whatever it costs, I'll pay. That's the mentality to have. Amen. Said all that just because we looked at the land, we beheld the plain of the Jordan. And that came up out of my spirit. Praise God. I want mighty moves of God in this church. I want the power to fall in this church. I'm not here to play games and mess around with this stuff. I got to stand before Jesus, and I take that seriously. And I got to stand before Jesus and give account of your lives. And I don't want to play church. I want to play New Testament church. I want to play church where the power falls and people get healed and set free and miracles, signs, and wonders. And the environment that that was in and that those things were able to breed in was an environment of sacrifice, an environment of selflessness, an environment of hunger. I don't know why I'm getting off on this. Talk about hunger. We show up to church deader than a doornail. Comes time for worship and we can't lift our voice and praise God. We sit there and we just get this over with and we don't come with hunger. Lord, well, Father, I'm coming to get some. I'm bringing my supply today. I'm coming. When I say coming to get something, I mean coming to get something out of the message in here. And we show up just try to go to church. Hope he doesn't go long today. And they're hungry in those days. I mean, they were so hungry and they were willing to do whatever and they just wanted God. And we're so casual. Talked to Reverend Alam, who is at the Fredonia Church, and he has the ministry that's led over 1 million people to the Lord and signs, wonders, and miracles, and asked him, Reverend Alam, why do the signs, wonders, and miracles happen in the foreign countries on a level, he said, that they don't happen here? He said, they're not casual about God over there. They will wait in line and sit hours in a church service with no air conditioning, 100 degrees, soaking wet in heat, and be glad that they were in the building. We get a little bit of bad weather and people say, oh no, I don't want to go to church in this. You know it's true. We wonder, why don't we see the power falling? Because God only goes where the hungry hearts take him. Amen. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst. Not are casual, the hungry ones. Well, they said, you know, the theme of this week at the camp meeting was the gifts of the Spirit and flowing with the Holy Ghost. And she said in the one that even in a service, you got to be willing to get in the flow, whatever way the Holy Ghost is going. This is against my notes. This is against what I came in and intended to preach. But the flow of the Spirit said to go this way, so we'll go this way. Amen. Amen. We want these things. Power, power, power fall, power fall. Once a week, every 5 weeks, you got me. Sign me up. We're thankful for that one time every 5-6 weeks, but it's squelching the power of that attitude. Amen. Oh, gosh, I sure hope someone didn't call off nursery tonight and I have to show up. Why don't you be the person that says, I'll fill in for anybody. Amen. You need an usher, Jeff? You got me. Yeah. Praise God. You need some. Oh, I'll serve, and then they give me their list of people that give me their list of things of why they'll serve, qualifications, say, you ain't going to get a call. No, because that's not what we're looking for. I remember a lady at the Jamestown Church when I used to be there. She said, I'll clean every week, but I'm not going to do the toilets. Thank you, we don't need you. We'll find somebody else. Yeah. Praise God. It's heart stuff. Here we're going to stand before Jesus, who did anything for us, the most uncomfortable sacrifice, laid his life down for us, and we're going to stand before him and say, I just wanted to be in nursery just 12 times a year, once a month. I just wanted to do this. The church needed this in the building program, but man, my stuff was more important. That ain't going to fly in front of the King. Amen. Man, Pastor Mike, wow. Anyways, thank you, Holy Ghost. Now, we're not going to get to all this tonight, but that's okay. I won't hold you hostage. Let me just finish this point here. Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of the Jordan. It was well watered everywhere. What were we talking about? Money. Cha-ching. Cha-ching. That looks good for me in my life. Before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, so the Lord puts a big fat wet blanket on that and says, yeah, that looks good, but that's before it's going to be destroyed. That thing you're looking at, that's Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot. You don't know what that's about to be, but he knew. Why didn't know that relationship would turn? He knew. Why didn't know that job or that business? He knew. He knew. I'm going to tell you what. My kids ain't going to play the dating game. Why do they need to play the dating game? And go find, I'm going to try this out, When they have the genius living on the inside of them. I played the dating game. Try this one, try that one. You know what it led to? Heartache, sorrow. No, my kids are going to learn to follow the Holy Ghost and know which one is the right one and which ones are the wrong ones. Amen. Well, I didn't know, but he did. Well, I didn't know it was going to turn. Yeah, but he did. And here Lot's looking. Ooh, that looks great. It looks great. And God's saying, Lot, that's Sodom and Gomorrah. Don't you know, Lot? I would tell you, Lot, if you'd want to know. You say, well, he'll just tell me. No, he won't. You have not. Because why? Seek and then you find. You knock and then it'll be opened. Right? Hallelujah. You ask and then you receive. For your Father knoweth what you have need of before you ask him. Well, he'll just give it to me because I need it. No, he won't. That's not how it works. Do you think that God wanted Lot to go to Sodom and Gomorrah? No. Do you think God knew what the outcome of Sodom and Gomorrah would be? Yes. Well, why didn't God send angels and put a spiritual airplane in the air carrying a banner that says, Lot, this is God. Don't go to Sodom and Gomorrah. I don't care what it looks like. It's about to be destroyed. You're going to lose your wife down there. You're going to end up getting taken captive down there. And you're going to end up in a cave doing ungodly things with your daughters. Study it out. A righteous man. God knew the whole time. And the Bible says, Lot lifted his eyes, beheld the plain of the Jordan. It was well watered everywhere. Behold, the Lord, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Verse 11. So Lot looked, cha-ching, cha-ching. And what does it say? Lot got on his face and said, Lord, that seems good down there, but Lord, you're the all-knowing one. And Father, I know that my flesh can lie to me. I know my mind can lie to me. What do you want, Lord? No, he didn't do that, did he? Lot chose him. One translation says Lot chose for himself. Never even asked God what is what. How many times do we embark into things, relationships, situations, business, where we're going to live, jobs, you name it, and never even ask him, what about this vehicle, Lord? What about this house, Lord? What about this job, Lord? What about this person? What about this business idea? We never even ask him. Why? In our mind, it seemed good. In our flesh, it felt good. Amen? Amen. Well, I just read off a list of things of why you can't go with, your mind or your flesh, because your mind or your flesh can say, that looks good down there, and it turned into a nightmare. Amen. So we want to learn to follow the Holy Ghost, and we're going to close right there because we don't need to preach the everlasting gospel in one sitting. But we need to get you understanding that you can't follow your own thoughts and your own minds, your own feelings. You know, this would be good homework for you to leave you with something. You know, you'll never learn to follow the Holy Ghost until you first surrender to God. Because who cares what he tells you if you're not surrendered? If your mind's already made up, it doesn't matter what the Holy Ghost says. But I really like him and things are going real good. Your mind's already made up. But that job already pays so much and I've already put myself on the line with your mind's already made up. So the first thing you need to do if you really want to learn to follow God for the rest of your life, now remember, you have the rest of your life. Doesn't matter how many years have gone by. Those are gone. You're here now and you have the rest of your life. What do you want to look like the rest of your life? Lot or Abraham? Abraham blessing, Lot constantly getting in your own way. Why? You just didn't ask God. It was unnecessary. The devil wasn't after Lot. Devil could have had, Lot could have lost his wife down there. He did. He gets kidnapped. People show up at his door and try to take his daughters. He ends up in cave with his daughters. And you could say, man, Lot really had it tough and the devil's after him. Devil wasn't after Lot. Lot didn't get out of his own way. It was unnecessary what Lot went through. Why? Abraham could have chose Sodom and Gomorrah. He didn't. Why? He was hearing God's voice. Amen. Amen. So the first thing you need to do in your homework is you need to consecrate and say, Lord, I do want to go forward your way. But Father, whatever you say, whatever you want, I surrender. And then he's free to speak to you. But who cares if he tells you not to do something if your mind's made up? You're not going to do it anyways. Hallelujah. Lord, thank you for tonight, for the utterance that we had. Father, we're just trying to bring people up higher. Father, we're thankful for all that people do around here. But Father, there are heart issues where people need to be fully surrendered. And it'll only bless them, Father, only benefit them. For you said if they'd be willing and obedient, they'll eat the good of the land. Father, there's a good of the land that's being kept from people because they're not willing to sign me up every week. They're not willing to, it doesn't mean you have to do it every week, but are you willing? Doesn't mean you have to usher every single week, but would you be willing to if the Lord needed it? Oh, there's a good of the land, Father. And I pray that people, that revelation would bring people up higher, Lord. People would start seeing the church in a different way and in the house of God and what they can bring, what they can do, how they can be a blessing that only benefit their lives, only benefit the kingdom. But Father, we thank you for what you've shown us in the Word tonight. Lord, the tale of two men. Abraham's life looked very different from Lot's, yet they were both considered righteous. And the only difference between the two was one chose to hear your voice and follow your voice. The other chose to do things their own way. And when you do things your own way, you are playing lottery with your life and you are hoping that it works out. You're pulling the lever and hoping that your numbers come up 777. And a lot of times, that's why those casinos are big and fancy, because a lot of times the numbers are not coming up 777. A lot of times people are losing out when they're pulling their own lever and doing things their own way. So Father, I pray that this series, that this time we have together talking about this stuff, that people's minds would be renewed, that Father, that a fresh start for the rest of their life, that a new way, going forward in a new way, it's not too late. The rest of their life, the problems they're in can be worked out. They can move into great and mighty things, Lord. It's available to us. We thank you for it. We praise you. Now, Father, I know in this building, everybody's born again. If you're listening by live stream and you're not saved or you don't know for sure if you'd go to heaven or not, Jesus is the way. The verse that tells you that Jesus is the way is John 14:6. And then he tells you how to be saved. In John 3:16, he said, if you'll believe in him. And Romans 10:13 says, if you'll call on his name, you'll be saved. So if you believe and receive, you'll be saved. So if you want to go to heaven tonight and you're listening to my voice right now on your computer or on your phone, on the internet somehow, and you say, I believe in Jesus. I believe he died and rose again. I do believe in him. You're halfway there. The next step is to invite him into your heart. All you simply have to do is to say, Lord, I do believe in you. I do believe you're real. I believe you died and rose again. I ask you to come into my heart. If you'll pray that prayer and mean that with all your heart, he'll do what he said he would do, which is save you, which will give you eternity in heaven, which you'll become a child of God, the Bible says in John 1, and you'll begin to learn all that God has for you. He'll give you a pastor. We'll help you get a pastor. We'll help you get planted in a good teaching, Bible teaching church to be blessed. Let's just all stand to our feet together, and let's worship the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. Lord, we're sold out to your way. We're sold out to your plans. We're sold out to your purposes, Father. Heart surgery tonight. We make adjustments where adjustments need to be made, Father. We endeavor to go your way. We say it's not going to be like it has been all the other times, Lord. Yeah, we might have failed 100 times, but we're not going to fail on the 101st. We're going to hear your voice. It's going to lead us into increase. It's going to lead us into peace. It's going to lead us into prosperity and health. It's going to lead us into favor and blessing for our children. And Father, we'll give you the praise for it. We'll give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll see you Tuesday at 6. You're dismissed.
we just go to the bridge. Come on, just say, put him under.
Put him under your feet.
Come on, let's do it.
Put him under.
The Bible says he's under. Come on.
Put him under your feet. Put him under.
Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.